Chapter 8, The First Christmas Eve. 30 days had passed since the Hill family celebrated their first Thanksgiving at the Festive Lane home. Unfortunately, Lindsay's mother Doris also died during this brief period. She was placed in a hospice center on December 2nd and passed away in her sleep on December 5th. Lindsay was at her side when her mother drew her last breath. Victor had asked Harry and Susan if Lindsay could stay with them instead of moving to Omaha with her Aunt Maria, but Harry and Susan agreed that they should honor the wishes and arrangements that Doris had made for her daughter. Lindsay did stay with the Hills on Festive Lane after the funeral. Her aunt returned to Omaha to make arrangements for relocating Lindsay, but felt it would be better to move her after the first of the year. Aunt Maria asked the Hills if they would mind letting Lindsay stay with them for a month while attending to the details. The Hills agreed and moved Lindsay into the guest room temporarily. Harry made it clear to Victor that he would stay in his own room to sleep each night, or a padlock would be placed on his door and windows. Victor agreed. Caitlin loved having Lindsay stay at the house. Lindsay was a significant influence on Victor and was beginning to have the same effect on Caitlin as well. Lindsay was one of those great girls who would do anything to help out a fellow human being. She wasn't quite as accommodating when it came to dogs. She had been bitten by a dog when she was 6 years old and had been scared of all dogs, regardless of size or demeanor. Lindsay even shunned Max, a very sweet dog, out of fear. A week after moving into the house, Lindsay didn't close her bedroom door, and Max pushed it open and jumped onto the bed as she laid there, terrified. Lindsay was trying to scream for help, but the words wouldn't come out. Max lay next to her and placed his head on her stomach. Still shaking in fear, Lindsay slowly moved her hand and stroked the golden lab's head. Max let out a long sigh and closed his eyes. Lindsay smiled and continued to pet Max for over an hour. The next morning, Harry searched for Max to let him outside for his morning business. Max would usually lie in bed with Harry and Susan, but he was nowhere to be found. Harry was concerned that Max might have gotten out somehow and ran off. Just as Harry was getting ready to walk around the neighborhood to look for Max, Susan motioned for him to come to the guest room. There lies Max and Lindsay, fast asleep, spooning each other. They have been inseparable ever since that night. On Christmas Eve, Lindsay is headed to Omaha to spend Christmas with her relatives. Although she would much rather stay with Victor and his family, she felt obligated to accept her aunt's invitation for Christmas dinner. It is late morning, and it has been snowing for about an hour. The WGN weather guru Tom Skilling has predicted as much as 10 inches of snow, guaranteeing a white Christmas for the Chicagoland area. Lindsay, you'd better get going if you'll make Omaha by this evening. The snow is coming down pretty good now. Are you sure you're okay driving in these conditions? Asked Susan. Oh, I'll be fine. I'll just take it slow and steady. If it takes me longer, then it takes me longer. I'll get there eventually, she replied. Susan helped Lindsay pack up the car her mother had left her, with her suitcase and a few presents she had purchased for her aunt and cousins. Victor came back from shopping for the last few gifts just as Lindsay was preparing to leave. I'm sorry I'm so late getting back, but the roads are getting slick and traffic is a mess. I'm glad I made it back before you left. I have something for you, said Victor. Oh, you didn't need to get me anything, Victor. I have a present for you, but it's in my room and I haven't wrapped it yet. I thought we could exchange gifts when I get back from Omaha, replied Lindsay. Well, I guess we could wait until then. I'm just glad I could see you off. It would be best if you were careful about driving. Take your time, and if it gets too bad, come back and get a hotel or wait it out. Do you have money or a credit card in case you get stuck? Or do you have a cell phone? Do you have a warm blanket and kitty litter if your car gets stuck? Victor rapidly asked. You are so cute. Yes, I have all of the above except kitty litter, but I do have a bag of sand and a shovel as well, she replied. Okay, then. I guess you should be going, said Victor. I already said goodbye to your folks and sisters. I hope you have a very nice Christmas. And hopefully, next year we'll be spending the holiday together, Lindsay said. She leaned in and kissed Victor on the lips as she softly held his face. He wrapped his arms around her in response and said, Merry Christmas, Lindsay. Merry Christmas, Victor. Love you lots, she replied. As she backed out of the driveway and then drove the car, she waved to Victor, and as snow fell and accumulated around his feet, he waved back. I sure hope her mom is watching over her today, he said to himself. Back at the house, Victor placed his packages on the massive granite kitchen island and began to search for scotch tape and scissors so he could wrap the gifts. Take your coat off and stay a while, said Caitlin as she entered the kitchen. Hey, do you know where the wrapping paper is? He asked her. I think Aunt Susan has several rolls of it up in her bedroom. I get it for you? Caitlin asked. No, I can get it. I don't want to bother you with that, he replied. It's no bother. It's the least I can do since you're wrapping my presents, she answered. Pretty sure of yourself, aren't you? He replied. I just know you. Last-minute Victor always waits until Christmas Eve to go shopping. At least I have my own money this year, thanks to working at McDonald's. I had to wait to get my paycheck this morning before I could go shopping. I guess I could have gotten everyone what I got you. How do you wrap a McDonald's gift certificate anyways? He asked. You got me a gift certificate from McDonald's, she asked. Victor couldn't hold back his laughter as she chased him around the island. Go get my wrapping paper. I'll trade your real gift in for a Mickey D's certificate. They're open till 8 p.m. tonight, he said. Caitlin laughed and ran up the stairs to the second floor bedroom, searching for the wrapping paper. As Victor and Caitlin got older, they grew closer as well. Instead of planning against each other, they worked together to make things right. Rose came in from the garage. Victor, you won't believe what Aunt Susan got you for Christmas. Victor cut her off. Don't tell me, Rose. I'll find out when I open my present on Christmas morning. But it's this really cool... Rose, stop, Victor said. Susan came in from the garage as well. You didn't tell him, did you, Rose? She asked.
He wouldn't let me. He said that he would find out on Christmas, Rose replied.
That's right. You need to keep your yapper shut, young lady, or you will get nothing but a stocking full of coal, Susan said.
Oh, come on, Aunt Susan, you know that's not true. Caitlin already got me this awesome makeup kit, and Lindsay bought me these new gloves and this hat I'm wearing, and...
Did Lindsay give you those gifts before she left? Susan asked.
Well, not exactly.
Max gave them to me, Rose replied. Max.
Yes, Rose replied.
Yeah, he brought me these gloves and hat out of Lindsay's room. A tag taped to them said for Rose, so I thanked Max very much, and I've been wearing them ever since,
Rose replied.
You take those off right now. Lindsay still needs to wrap her presents for us, said Susan in dismay.
How is she going to know? I'll just put them back in her room. No problem, said Rose.
No problem, even though there are chocolate stains all over the fingers of the gloves, Susan said.
That was Max, not me.
I haven't eaten chocolate all day, Rose stated.
Where did Max get chocolate from? Asked Susan. Susan stopped what she was doing and proceeded to the guest room where Lindsay had been staying. There, on the floor, were remnants of a box of Fannie Mae candy, little brown wrappers everywhere, and Max fast asleep on the bed.
Well, that's just great. Your Uncle Harry will have a cow when he hears about this,
Susan said to Rose, who followed her to the bedroom.
Why, does he like chocolate?
Asked Rose. No more than the next guy, but chocolate is bad for dogs. It can be poisonous to some breeds, Susan said. I guess I need to take Max to the vet. On Christmas Eve, I bet this is going to cost a pretty penny.
At that moment, Harry walked in from the garage.
I think I'd better snowblow the driveway. It's getting bad out there, he stated.
Uncle Harry, Max ate a whole box of chocolate and is going to die, Rose exclaimed.
What? Did Max eat chocolate? Oh, no, that's not good. Chocolate can be poisonous for dogs, he replied.
Yes, I'm fully aware of that. I suggest you call the vet to see what we should do, replied Rose in a very adult tone.
Why, of course. Why didn't I think of that? Thank you, Rose. Did you feed Max the chocolate?
No. He couldn't wait any longer to open his presents, so he started with yours and mine. I got this great hat and these chocolate-stained gloves. You got chocolate, which is all gone now. A fine Merry Christmas to you, Uncle Harry, she said as she walked out of the room.
Harry pulled out his cell phone and pressed the number 2 on his speed dial. This was the speed dial for the vet. Susan was speed dial number 1. She used to be number 2 because Harry called the vet more often than Susan, but Susan insisted on being number 1.
Bone Animal Hospital, how may we help you?
Hi, this is Harry Hill.
Hang on, I'll get the veterinarian. Dr. Barnes, Max did something again,
she said before holding the call.
Hi, Harry, what did he do this time? Asked Dr. Barnes.
Hi, Doc, he ate a box of chocolate, replied Harry.
How much chocolate was in the box and where was it from? Asked the vet.
I'm not sure. Let me ask Susan. Hang on.
Harry enters the guest room and sees Susan on the floor picking up wrappers.
How big of a box was it? He asked.
Oh, Harry, Max ate a box of chocolate. We need to get him to the vet. You know how chocolate can be poisonous to some dogs, she stated.
I'm on the phone with the vet now. How big of a box was it?
Susan looked for the box cover that was torn into hundreds of pieces.
Here it is. It was a 2-pound box.
Okay, Dr. Barnes, it was a 2-pound box, Harry said into his phone.
What type or brand was it? Asked Dr. Barnes.
Susan, what type of chocolate was it?
She replied, it was from Fannie Mae.
Hello, Dr. Barnes, it was from Fannie Mae, Harry said. Was it the holiday assortment or all one type, like pecan turtles or buttercream filled? Asked the vet.
Let's see, the box says assorted chocolate, so it was the holiday assortment, Harry replied.
Excellent choice. I like the assortment because you get buttercreams and turtles, the vet replied.
Dr. Barnes, what about Max? Asked Harry.
Oh, yeah. Give him a tablespoon of hydrogen peroxide and do so outside. He'll vomit up the chocolate. Then just keep an eye on him for the next 24 hours. If he doesn't vomit from one tablespoon, then give him a follow-up of 2 more tablespoons, said the doctor.
What if he doesn't vomit after the second dose, and then what? Harry asked.
Then repeat the dosage for a total of 5 tablespoons. If he doesn't vomit after that, he's not going to. He'll be fine. That dog has an iron cast stomach, said Dr. Barnes.
Yeah, remember last month when he ate an entire box of staples? For weeks, Rose put paper in his mouth and popped him on the head to see if he would staple it, said Harry.
Well, actually, that was very serious. He could have torn an intestine, stomach lining, or rectum. That dog is a handful, but he is the sweetest pup I have ever cared for in a very long time. Let me know if he gets worse. Otherwise, just try to keep him quiet and feed him some rice. No table scraps, prescribed the doctor.
Thanks for your help, Dr. Barnes. Send me the bill, replied Harry.
Don't worry about it, Harry. It's Christmas. Have a good one, offered the doctor as he disconnected.
Dr. Barnes said he should be okay, but we have to get him outside and give him some hydrogen peroxide to make him throw up, Harry said to Susan.
I think we have some of that in the medicine cabinet in the spare bathroom. You get Max outside and I'll get the peroxide, said Susan.
Okay, Max, time to get up and go outside, Harry said to the dog lying on the bed, groaning slightly from overeating.
Max, go outside?
No reaction.
Max, go for a ride?
Still, no cooperation.
Max, Lindsay's home!
Up like a shot, Max jumped off the bed and headed towards the garage.
That dog sure does like Lindsay. I couldn't get him to budge until I told him Lindsay was home. I wonder what she's got that I don't.
He asked Susan as she came into the kitchen with peroxide.
It might be because she's kind and loving and you're not. Dogs pick up on those subtle things, Susan said sarcastically.
I'm the one who walks that dog, who feeds that dog, who takes him to the vet and spends hundreds on that dog. You would think he would show a little appreciation, said Harry.
After a few doses of this stuff, he'll be showing you his appreciation all night long. So make sure it all stays outside and not in my clean house, Susan replied.
Yes, dear, and a very Merry Christmas to you, too, replied Harry.
As Harry tended to Max, Victor finished up his gift wrapping in the kitchen and Caitlin was in her room listening to music. Rose was dancing like a crazy person in her room as she ate Fannie Mae candy. Guess Max hadn't eaten as much as was initially thought. 5:55 p.m. Christmas Eve.
Come on, you guys, dinner's on the table, Susan yelled up to the second level.
Harry came in from the back door leading to the backyard.
How's Max doing? Any luck yet? Susan asked.
He refuses to puke.
The damn dog will vomit all over the carpet in the family room when you have guests arriving in 5 minutes, but give him something to make him barf, and he refuses. He's playing me. I just know it, said Harry.
Leave him outside until later this evening. It's not freezing, and he loves playing in the snow anyways, Susan said.
Believe me, I have no plans of letting him inside anytime soon, Harry concurred.
Is it still snowing? Susan asked.
Yes, the wind is picking up. I sure hope Lindsay is doing okay driving to Omaha, said Harry.
Caitlin talked to her a couple hours ago, but every time she calls, it goes directly to voicemail, Susan stated.
It doesn't surprise me. With this storm, the satellite signals are probably all screwed up. I'll try her on my phone, replied Harry.
Susan walked back over to the stairs.
Guys, get your butts down here now! It's time to eat, she shouts.
Finally, Rose hears the call and gathers the other two for dinner. Harry speaks on his phone.
Hi, Lindsay, this is Harry. I just wanted to check up on you. The snow here is getting worse, so we're concerned about your trip. Give me a call back at this number when you get the message. Thanks.
Still no answer. It went directly to her voicemail, so she isn't getting a signal wherever she is.
Or her phone is turned off, Harry said.
Let's all sit down and have a nice Christmas Eve dinner. I made a nice lasagna, Susan said. At the house on Festive Lane, a family of five sits down to Christmas dinner. The parents are in their mid-40s, and their children, a boy and two girls, are 16, 13, and 10, respectively. An older couple walking hand in hand approaches the front walkway carrying trays of cookies. They set up onto the front stoop and ring the doorbell.
Oh, what now? Who could it be? Asked Susan as she went to the door.
Merry Christmas, Susan, the people on the stoop shouted as the house front door opened.
Merry Christmas to you, too, said Susan, but she couldn't see the people clearly due to the blowing snow. She opened the storm door and peeked out.
Holy shit! She exclaimed and pulled the storm door back and shut the front door to the house. It was precisely 1 minute after 6 on Christmas Eve. Startled by Susan's expletive, Harry quickly walks over to the front door to see the commotion.
Susan, who is it? What's going on? He asked.
Susan is shaken and cannot talk.
Susan, what's wrong? Who's at the door? Asked Harry once again.
There's still no response from Susan, so Harry pushes her aside and opens the door once again.
How can I help you? Harry asked.
Merry Christmas, Harry!
The people shouted.
Why, thank you, but who are you and why are you here?
He asked. But there was no reply.
Harry opened the storm door, and the light from inside the house cast upon the faces of an elderly couple standing on the front stoop. Harry peered through the blizzard conditions to see if he could recognize the visitors. Then he realized who they were.
"Holy shit!"
he shouted. Now, sitting on the floor in the hallway, Susan confirms, "Yep, that's what I said." The male visitor asks, "Well, may we come in, Harry? We've come a very long way to see you, our daughter and grandchildren." Harry, still stunned by the fact that Susan's parents, who had died over 3 years ago, were now standing on his front stoop, tried to collect his composure. "How rude of me, but of course, please, come in," Harry said. As Robert and Marilyn Shay entered the home, they brushed off the snow from their hats and coats and handed the platter of cookies to Harry. At this moment, Caitlin came to the hallway to see what was going on. "Caitlin, take these cookies into the kitchen for me, will you?" asked Harry. Caitlin took the tray of cookies from Harry, looked at the two visitors, and smiled at them. She walked back to the kitchen, and Rose, seeing the cookies, asked, "Who brought the cookies, Caitlin?" "It's just Grandma and Grandpa. I guess they stopped by to..."
"Holy shit!"
Caitlin shouted. "Grandma and Grandpa from San Francisco? They're here to take us back with them?" Rose asked.
"No, it's Grandpa Robert and Grandma Marilyn, not Grandpa Patrick and Grandma Megan," said Caitlin as she too began to shake.
"What, you are out of your mind. Grandpa Robert and Grandma Marilyn have been dead for over 3 years now. I don't think they can come to visit just because it's Christmas." "You crazy girl," said Victor as he proceeded to the front hallway.
"Hi, my name is Victor and I...
"Holy shit!"
"Hello, Victor. Calm down, son. It's us, your grandparents. Grandpa Robert and Grandma Marilyn," his grandfather stated.
"You're supposed to be dead,"
replied Victor as he walked from side to side, checking out the figures in front of him.
"Yes, Victor, we are dead, but we've been granted a wonderful gift since you're living in this house. The gift of life for one glorious 24-hour period. And what better time to visit than Christmas?" Grandma Marilyn said gleefully.
"Didn't Martha visit you earlier today and explain what was about to happen at 6 p.m?" asked Robert.
"Martha, the nosy old lady who came to our car when we first met the house seller?" asked Harry.
"I don't know. Was she short with grayish-white hair? Rose-colored cheeks? Walks with a slight limp?" asked Grandma Marilyn.
"Yes, that sounds just like her. Who is she?" asked Harry as Susan continued to sit on the floor in disbelief.
"Martha was the original owner of this house, before Michael and Ariana Carter purchased it just before Martha's passing,"
explained Marilyn.
"Her passing, as in dead, like you."
"Dead?" Harry asked.
"Yes, just like us. Well, anyway, this house has some extraordinary magic. It has something to do with the foundation. It allows friends and family to visit once a year for 24 hours. For many years, Martha's family and then Michael and Ariana's families and friends made their visits from 6 p.m. Christmas Eve until 6 p.m. Christmas Day. It sounded like the most logical time to visit, so we just left it that way," Marilyn concluded.
"I am so sorry that we frightened you and the grandchildren. We thought Martha was already here," said Grandpa Robert.
The doorbell rang once more.
"Who's that? Santa Claus?" asked Susan.
"We don't know Santa Claus, Susan. For the next 24 hours, we're just as human as you and Harry," her father replied.
Harry opened the door and heard,
"Merry Christmas, Harry."
On the stoop stood Martha Kennedy, the patriarch of the Christmas house.
"I'm so sorry for not stopping by sooner, but I was so busy making the rounds, and I got tied up with Michael, Ariana, Nicole, and David. I'm the only one who can still see them every Christmas. I do apologize for the delay," said Martha.
"Hello, Martha. Please come in and enlighten us, please," said Harry.
"What was that you said about visiting Michael and his wife and kids? Didn't they perish in the terrible explosion of this house?" Harry asked.
"No, Harry, it wasn't this house that exploded. It was the original home. Michael built this home on the same foundation so that magic would still exist, Martha replied.
So, even though Michael moved to a new home in Algonquin, Illinois, his deceased wife and kids can still visit him on Christmas Eve?
Harry asked, for he was bewildered.
No, Harry. I said that only I was allowed to visit Michael and his family. I'm the only one who's dead. Ariana and his kids are alive and well. I'll explain how that all happened later,
Martha replied and continued.
Robert and Marilyn are also dead the other 365 days a year, just like every other deceased guest who will come to visit you tonight.
Victor and Caitlin, who listened intently, looked at each other and began to tear up.
Are you saying that our parents will be coming here tonight? Asked Victor.
Before Martha could answer, the doorbell rang once again.